In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning to everybody out there, and happy Saturday to you. This is February 8th, the year of our Lord 2025. I am your host, Paul Mitters. For the next 2 hours, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. On the east side of Blackstone, you guys know where it is, across from Hobby Lobby. I come here about an hour early before every show, get everything set up, go over some last-minute notes, send a few texts out and all that fun stuff, but I love doing my show here at First String Sports. From the Letterman's Jacket Room, I say this every week because it is the coolest place to do a high school radio show. I'm surrounded by Letterman's Jackets from all the great schools in the Central Section, Fresno Christian, Sierra, Kerman, Edison, Hoover, Sunnyside. To my right, there's those classic Bullard Letterman's Jackets. You got Liberty and got Madera with that nice blue and white. Very, very simple. A little bit of there's no gray in that. No, I'm looking at Sanger West. Sanger West has gray on the collar. It looks exactly like Madera, but Sanger West with that gray. The original Sanger High School to my left. Parlier, Carruthers, Clovis North, Kingsburg behind me with their green and gold. So thanks to First String Sports for being just fantastic sponsors. They do a great, great job supporting the student athletes in the Central Section. All right, so fun show today. Jam-packed. We're going to be moving quick with a lot of stuff. Sometimes I'm a fast talker. Sometimes I try to get way too much information in as my time is dwindling down, and I go way too fast. I find myself doing that on broadcasts as well. Well, might as well do the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Report before we get into what's going on for the next 2 hours. 46 degrees, a little bit foggy this morning. When I left the house, kind of weird, a little bit misty as well, felt like the coast. High of 60. I think it's going to be a low of 34 degrees tomorrow, maybe. So, yeah, when the clouds move away, sun's supposed to come out. No rain for the next 4 or 5 days. But, yeah, interesting weather once we get into March and baseball season. Baseball season's going to start at the end of February. But once we get into baseball season, weather's going to heat up. And it's going to be really, really nice temperatures here in the Central Valley. All right. Have you guys heard about this? You guys know about the Central East Kodiaks? Huh? You guys heard about this? This controversy? Hot topic? What the heck does that even mean? Maybe it's the first time you've heard about it. Well, the Central East High School, which we know as Central, right? When you think Central, you think Central East. Well, they could lose their mascot, which we know as the Grizzlies. The new school is going to arrive. They're going to split it. They're going to split now. High schools with Central West campus now becoming their own identity, so to speak. There, the administration at Central Unified now is going to award Central West to become the Grizzlies, forcing a full rebranding. So Central, yes, the Central of state championship football teams, of really good basketball teams before COVID, right? They become the Kodiaks. Why? Well, it's the bigger bear, I hear. It's bigger than a grizzly. I mean, it's just from the outside looking in, it just does not make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. Why would they even think about doing that? Well, one of the faces, I would argue the face of Central, of the Grizzlies, as far as the athletic programs go, is Coach Kyle Biggs. Football coach, did an amazing job there. Just a great coach. Obviously, state championship game this last year. Won the Central Section title, the state champs that I talked about in 2019. Well, Kyle's going to come on the show after the break, probably around 10:20 or so. We're going to talk about that. What does that look like? What's that do for the legacy of Central High? Right? Obviously, adding Justin Garza, that's another dimension as well. Where's the zoning going to be? I can't keep up with all this, but Kyle and I are going to talk about that. What exactly does that mean? All right. After Kyle is coming on, around 10:40, Jermaine Jones played basketball locally in Fresno Pacific University, runs a JMJ basketball camp, AAU programs. He's bringing a couple kids. Lives have been impacted through his mentorship and basketball training. So do a little rotation system, talking with some of the kids that he mentors, talking about what his programs are all about. Really good guy. Looking forward to talking to him. That'll take us all the way up to hour number two. And Brian Duckworth is coming on around 11:05. If you're involved anywhere with hoops in the Central Valley, that name just has a lot of value. Everybody knows Duck, right? Local legend. Currently, he's the girls basketball coach at McLean High School. He was honored last month at Sunnyside. He's the all-time leading scorer in school history. 1,539 points. His family ties run deep to Sunnyside, as you're well aware of. I actually haven't talked to Brian that much. I'm looking forward to getting to know him a little bit more. We'll talk about his high school days, played some college basketball, playing that really cool Fresno Pro-Am that was this summer. After Duckworth, Josh Bergman, he's the head coach at Central Valley Christian at CVC in Visalia. I went to his game against Kingsburg. They hosted Kingsburg for the Tri-County Championship. And they defeated Kingsburg in a really good basketball game. 41-38. Seems a little ugly, right? Pretty good defense. Tough shooting, right? But congrats to CVC for winning that championship. I think they're right now, they're going to be a low D2 team. You think of CVC, think D4, D3, but probably a D2 team. His son, Jaden, is a freshman on the team, averaging about 12 points a game. He's a really good basketball player. Always fun to talk to Josh Bergman. He's another one of those Fresno Pacific dudes from the early 1990s. I know I talk about those guys a lot, but there's a great connection to basketball and those guys making impact in the central section. All right, so last night's game that we broadcasted on 1430 ESPN, Phil Bonatti and I, Buchanan and Clovis North, both teams are top of the track. Clovis North only had that one loss this season. That was to Buchanan at home. Buchanan with two losses. Clovis West on Tuesday in a shocker, especially the fourth quarter. I don't know if it's a shocker, right? Final score, maybe not a shocker, but how Buchanan performed in the fourth quarter was they got outscored 23-2 in the fourth quarter and lost to Clovis West on Tuesday. But Buchanan, you know, strong team with Coach Orlich, doing some amazing things. Huge game. 5:30 start, which is still weird to me in Clovis Unified for the boys this year. Jim started to fill in pretty well around 5:45, and Buchanan with a great win, 48-46 over Clovis North. Now both teams are tied atop the track at 7-2. Carter Finley converted a shot from underneath the hoop with 2.5 seconds. They're a wild sequence. Connor Sheets was trapped at the baseline, was falling out of bounds, threw it to the run the top of the key. The ball was tipped. So a little bit of a shift on Clovis North's defense. Passed underneath for that layup. There were a couple timeouts. And then the inbounds play just didn't work. It was stolen by Buchanan. Connor Sheets ended up with 21 points. And it doesn't get any easier, right? There's still one more game in the track. Buchanan plays at Clovis East. And Clovis North plays at Clovis West. Those two teams always match up in the last game of the regular season. So those teams will play on Tuesday. A reminder here, guys. This basketball season is quickly coming to playoff season. And into the state playoffs. All right, here's just a little synopsis of what the timeline looks like. It surprised a lot of people. I posted on Twitter, like, what? Already? Well, the brackets for the boys are going to be posted on February 13th on a Thursday. That's odd, right? We usually have the brackets posted on Saturdays for football and baseball and basketball. Soccer, too, I believe. But February 13th, the brackets for the boys are going to be posted. Games are going to be played, check it out, on Saturday. Next Saturday, the 15th. So put a little mental note. February 15th, Saturday, is when the boys' basketball playoffs are going to start. Then they're going to have them on the 19th, which is a Wednesday, and then on Friday, the 21st. And then the section finals, again, Esselunde Arena, February 28th through March 1st. Then state and regionals, and then Golden One Center with the state championships as well. Looks like in the middle of March. it's going to take some time to adjust to that. I kind of don't like the 21st of February being the semifinals and then waiting a week for Celent Arena, but it is what it is. Girls basketball, the brackets are going to be posted on the 12th, which is a Wednesday. So the girls are going to start their playoffs on Valentine's Day, February 14th and the 18th and 20th, and section finals at Celent Arena. So a little bit different. A little bit different. So hopefully you guys are staying in tune with that, and you're not surprised. But, again, basketball playoffs are going to be here before you know it. The seedings, don't have a whole lot of time to dive into the seedings. I wish I did. We'll do it next week, right, when we can preview the games a little bit better when the seedings come out. But St. Joe's going to be number one. Then that 2-3 could be a little tricky. Looks like San Joaquin Memorial, who I think is the second-best team in the Central Section, probably going to get the 4-5 seed, which is crazy, which means if they went out, they're going to have to go on the road to face St. Joe's, who's ranked number 4 in the state. Speaking of St. Joe's, Tunde Yesufu became California's all-time leading scorer last Saturday. The previous record was DeMarcus Nelson from Sheldon of Sacramento. And, Tunde scored 30 points last Saturday against Weston Ranch. The previous all-time state record was 3,462 points. So, yeah, we've seen that young man's from his freshman year all the way up to his senior year. They came down for the game against Clovis West on a Wednesday. So our only time so far making the drive to the Valley. So Tunde, number one in the state in scoring. Very, very impressive job by him this year. Clovis West, a lot of talk about their basketball team this year. Nick Podesta, who came in from Weston Ranch, first-year head coach, was announced a few days ago that he is stepping down as head coach at Clovis West only after 1 year. Made that announcement to his team. In my working with Nick, he's been nothing but great. Quick on answering texts, phone calls after games, come over and shake my hand. Just a very, very nice guy with me. And I appreciated that about Nick. Yeah, that Nike Invitational Tournament, which he sent me all the information, was happy we were able to broadcast some games. So he is stepping down. Now, we know the schedule that Clovis West put together, extremely tough schedule. They are under 500. So that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, right? Clovis West basketball, boys and girls, it's the flagship. Let's just say it's the flagship program in the Central Section. And he was in a tough spot, right, replacing Coach Wahlberg, bringing in a little bit of a different style across the board. So Coach Podesta is stepping down. That is big news in the Central Section. A couple more news and notes here. Josh Allen winning that MVP. How cool was that, right? From Fireball to Reedley College to Wyoming to the Bills. And gosh darn it, those Kansas City Chiefs, right? Just tough to get past those guys. And Josh is Central Valley born, Central Valley bred. We always root for Josh. So congrats, winning that first MVP. That is really, really cool. The big game is happening Sunday. Xavier Worthy, the rookie from Central East, the Grizzlies. We follow him all year, has a really, really good year. He's playing in the big game. And yes, I can't say the official, right? I think we might get fined because we're not official sponsors, right, of that game that's being played Saturday at 3:30. All right, call it the big game. So it'll be fun to watch Xavier Worthy. Are you kidding me? That is awesome. Congrats to him for making the Super Bowl in his rookie year. I'll ask Coach Kyle Biggs about that experience for Xavier and what he thinks about that too. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. When we come back, we will talk to Coach Kyle Biggs about all this weird and wacky and just fascinating stuff that's happening in Central Unified. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, thank you guys for listening to Central Valley Sports Report. Listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. So I talked about this a little bit in my opener. One of the hot discussions going around is what in the world is going on in Central Unified School District. So the original Central Grizzlies could be no more, right? The Central East. It's what we're used to. Facing a rebranding name change in May, admin set to split the campus into two schools, the new campus. Central West would be the Grizzlies. Central East, who most of us know in the Central Valley simply as Central, would be, yes, the Kodiaks. So lots to unpack here. And on the line, we have Central head football coach Kyle Biggs. So, Kyle, first of all, thanks for joining us to talk about this topic. When did you first hear about this potential change, and what was your first initial reaction?
It was during the football season. They kind of talked to us a little bit, but I mean, I'm so naive and engulfed in what we're doing at the time that I just really didn't pay it much attention. So it never really, you know, hit me what they were trying to do. So I didn't voice my opinion, or I didn't really speak up like I should have, I think. But they just sent an email out, and in the bylaws state that the kids get to pick the name, and they give them a few names. Grizzlies not being one of the names they got to choose. They wanted to keep everything claw-like with a bear. And Kodiak seemed to be of the three or four. I don't even remember what the other choices were, to tell you the truth. But that was the resounding choice, was Kodiaks.
So was it was sent to you in an email, these changes. So there is no, like, discussion with you, say, hey, coach, or a sit-down meeting. Hey, we'd like to talk to you, but this is what the what we're thinking about doing. There's nothing like that. It was more in an email form.
I can't remember, to tell you the truth, whether there was a conversation. There was definitely wasn't a meeting, but this stuff's above my pay grade. It kind of handled at the main office and the district office, more so the district office, I think. And there's a lot of, I don't want to say political things, but you have a lot of old time Central people who want, that feel that the original name should stay with the original school. And I get that. I do. But that team hasn't had a sports team in 25, 30 years. So we've branded the name Grizzlies. We've taken it. I think we did our research. Coach Gordon really did the research, our softball coach. And they won from 1922 to 1996. They won 5 section championships. We've won over 30 section championships from 1996 to 2024. So we've really taken that Grizzly name and that brand, and I think really developed it and made it, put it on the state level. And they're just kind of taking it from us, and I'm not happy about it. But like I said, it's above my pay grade. I feel the old timers don't understand that Grizzly name is going to go to West Campus and it's going to die. You're never going to hear the Central Grizzlies again on a statewide or a valley scale. It's just, they're going to be a lower tier program who, you know, aren't going to get a lot of attention. Whereas we're going to continue to keep doing the things we're doing at East Campus, and the flagship name is going to now be whatever we are. So Kodiak isn't finalized yet. I think the students are trying to fight to get something else. So this battle isn't over. But yeah, they have to rebrand both schools. So to me, it makes more sense to rebrand one school, leave us alone, and rebrand the other school. I think from a financial standpoint, that makes a lot more sense. But again, I wasn't in on any of these discussions, and it's above my pay grade.
Hey, there's just so much to unpack with this. And, you know, you hear things about, you know, the Central might change their name from Grizzlies to Kodiaks. And I think everybody's initial reaction is, what in the world, what are you talking about? Like, the legacy part of it, which you mentioned, those 30 Central Section championships, and obviously your state championship. Like, Central has worked really hard, you and Coach Gorton, and, you know, all the great coaches at Central Unified, the track coaches, right? You guys have worked really, really hard to make the Central Grizzlies proud. And a state level, like, when people think of Central, they think of the Grizzlies, right? You just think of, like, Cal High Sports. Like, when Cal High Sports is now going to put the Kodiaks, most people around the state are like, who the heck are them? That's not the Grizzlies, is it? Like, there's going to be so much confusion out there.
That's the sad part. I mean, why are we a school? Why are we in it? Why are we in education? It's for the kids, right? And the kids are the ones who are devastated. I feel like they're making a change for the older generation of Central Grizzlies who went to the West Campus and graduated from the West Campus, and they don't go there anymore. They don't have anything to do with that school anymore. Yet that's who the decision is being catered towards, I feel like. And it's not right to the kids because ultimately, you know, we're in education. We're coaches for the kids. And the kids are the ones who are being affected by this, and it's not fair to them.
Remind me again, Kyle, of just where the campuses are located and what has been the history as far as you can remember. And you know, I know that both campuses would feed in and they become Grizzlies, right? But now there's going to be just a split with the campuses. So now they're going to have each their own campus with their own identity now? Is that what that looks like?
Yeah. So, you know, from whenever Central was built until 1996, they had the West Campus where the old Kauffman Stadium's at. You know, when I was in high school, that's where we played Central. We went out to the West Campus, to the Ag Farm, and that's where Central played all their games. That was their campus. Then in 1996, they built the East Campus. My mom happened to be a teacher at the time at Central, so I know everything about the history. And at that time, there were still two campuses. All freshmen went to West Campus. And ag students and other students who wanted a smaller high school setting would go to West Campus. They were two complete campuses. They had teachers. They had cafeteria. Like, everything was the same. You could take classes at one, classes at the other. There was a shuttle bus that would take you from one school to the other school in between classes. And everyone who played sports played at East Campus. So we were two campuses, but we were one school as the Central Grizzlies. Now what the school board decided to do is they want three separate high schools. The last few years since Garza was built, Central West has been a school of choice, which they have academic classes, college prep classes, a nursing program, the ag program, some ROP electives that are all at West Campus. Really good things for the students academically to go out there and do. And now that is being shut down, and they are going to be Central High School. We will be Central East, and of course Garza will be Garza. Each team, they're going to have sports teams. They've hired an athletic director. They've opened the job for football coach. And like you said, I think it's funny because, you know, someone who's not from the area might look on and see, oh, Central Grizzlies, the head football coaching job is open. Man, they just played in the state championship. This is a really good job. And then they're hoodwinked to think, you know, they're going out to Central West and I don't know what type of team they're going to have out there. I don't know how many kids they're going to have. I don't know much. But I know it's not going to be as competitive and as good as what they think they're getting into.
I mean, all that from the outside looking in, it's just the optics are just so bad. It's going to be so confusing for everybody, even for, you know, the coaches that are on campus right now. And, yeah, from what I understand, it's going to be freshmen and, starting out programs with freshmen in any level, especially football, is going to be extremely, extremely tough sledding moving forward. What about the color schemes?
Well, that's the thing is they're not going to start. That campus is going to be fully loaded. So seniors, juniors, freshmen. And if you have seniors at a public school, you can't just have a JV football team. By law, you have to give those seniors a right to be on a varsity football team because seniors can't play JV. So what they're going to end up doing is however many kids are on varsity, they're going to have to fill in what they need to make a team with freshmen. And so they're going to be freshman loaded and, you know, playing against, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids with 14-year-olds.
And so this is going to happen for next season already, 2025-26.
Yep, next school year, and they have a – they have a thing called a legacy transfer. So if you're a sophomore or a junior and your boundaries change, you can fill out a legacy transfer to stay at the school you're at. But if you are a freshman, you are going to have to be put in a transfer. And I don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to be approved, if they're not going to be approved. There's a hotline you can call with questions about it. We've called the hotline, and the hotline has given us multiple different answers to the same question. So there's a ton of confusion. Kids are confused. Parents are confused. Coaches are confused. And we haven't been given any, direction on what do we tell our kids? How do we handle this? So it's we're in a tough spot right now.
And again, I don't see – thanks for clearing it up for me, Kyle. But I don't see how this is going to take effect for the 2025-26 school year. I mean, how – like, I'm just thinking uniforms, rebranding, the murals that are out there, the scoreboards, the signs, all of that stuff. Like, how is this even going to happen in, what, 5-6 months? Makes no sense.
Yeah, I just coach football, brother.
Oh my gosh. Okay, a couple more things here, Coach Kyle Biggs. Thanks for joining us about this topic. Again, the legacy. You mentioned that your mom was a teacher on campus, and you have done an amazing job at Central Unified, as has a lot of people. Like, in terms of legacy, what is that? What could that mean for the legacy that you guys have worked so hard to create?
Just confusion. 'Cause you know you're gonna have. Basically, the way I'm looking at it, and I'm not sure this hasn't been discussed, but I think this would be the most common sense thing to do, is that anything from 1996 becomes Central East records and trophies. Anything prior to 1996 is the original campus, you know, records and trophies. Like Trent Tompkins' most passing yards in the season shouldn't go to West Campus. Our state championship shouldn't go. Like, we earn those things. I mean, if you had a percentage of kids who were from West Campus on that team, I mean, you're looking at like probably a 85-15 split, and that's being generous.
And the Fresno Bee wrote an article that came out, and you mentioned earlier that the, you know, what the kids voted on, they voted on the Kodiaks, but the Grizzlies wasn't a part of it. It was a little misleading, right? 64% said the Kodiaks, but none of the other choices were the Grizzlies. So even the students are really confused about this. Like, I thought we had a say in it, but yeah, it's just very confusing. I just don't understand how Central Unified, how the admin and the board can work together and get this thing going. All right, Coach, we got another minute or two here with you. Again, thanks for joining us to talk about Central Unified and what's going on there. But, hey, Sunday, big game. One of your former players, Xavier Worthy, is playing in the biggest game, in the biggest stage. I mean, how cool of a moment is that going to be for X? And where are you going to be watching the game? And, man, how pumped are you going to be to watch him?
I'm so excited for him. I'm gonna be at home watching it. You know, I'm kind of, you know, everyone's tired of the Chiefs, but it's like I got to cheer for my guy, man. Like, he's in a Super Bowl. He's a playmaker. He's doing, like, he's just getting more involved with the offense every week. He's developed into such a dynamic wide receiver and playmaker for that team. It's just really cool and really fun to watch.
That's awesome. We're all excited for that. And I agree. We're all Chiefs fatigue, right? And I mentioned Josh Allen winning the MVP. It would have been nice to see Josh advance to the Super Bowl. But anyway, thanks, Kyle, for coming on and talking about this subject and informing me and a lot of people out there about what's truly going on. I really appreciate you, Kyle.
Yep, no problem.
All right. Coach Kyle Biggs. Up next, we got some basketball guys in the house. We got Jermaine Jones, brought a lot of players here. So we're going to try to give some kids some voices here, talking about how their mentorship has affected them and what they're doing in the basketball world here in the Central Valley. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. Listen to it on 1430 ESPN. Just a really good conversation with Kyle Biggs. Hope you guys were able to hear it all. You could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com if you missed any of the show. Just talking about Central Unified. Just so much to unpack. That could be a two-hour show. Talking about the changes that could happen there. It's just doesn't seem right. Just seems just doesn't make a lot of sense. But what does make sense is the good things that's happening here in the Central Valley. One of the main dudes here that does an amazing job is Jermaine Jones. He runs JMJ Baseball. They have a great mentorship program, AAU basketball teams, camps.
JMJ Basketball.
JMJ Basketball. There we go. We'll be hearing for some players as well. I mean, we got a whole crew here.
We brought the crew here.
So we're going to sneak them in as much as possible, give everybody a voice about what this program has meant to them. So first of all, Jermaine, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having us here. I brought Coach Celso along with us. a couple of our team members, and we're excited to be here with you guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right. So just tell us about your programs and what you guys run. I've been to your website, checked it out. Looks really awesome. Just talk about the service that you guys offer.
Yeah, so we primarily focus on development, you know, development of the youth, the players that come in. We want them to have a really strong foundation of their skill sets. And so from there, they can take it and apply it to their school team and to, you know, just everyday life and how they carry themselves. You know, we really want them to instill great character as well as become great basketball players.
I've seen some of the clips, right? You guys are working on some drills, doing some up and under, some different you know, things inside your location. Where are you guys mainly located? Where do you guys work? Do your workouts?
Right now, we're located at Fresno Athletic Training Center. That's where we do a lot of our training, our personal training. And then when we have opportunities, we'll go to our local gym and do some training there.
All right, Coach Celso, you're on the radio with us right now. So, kind of what is your role with this program? What do you accomplish here?
Well, I basically just help Jermaine whatever he needs, you know, to help mentor these kids because he's only one person, and we have, man, I'm gonna say over 100 kids, all ages, level, diverse. So I just help whatever he needs.
Is it more basketball drills, just talking to the kids, mentorship, all the above?
All the above.
What do you enjoy most?
Personally, I like more of the mentoring the kids. You know what I mean? Because some of these kids are from underprivileged places, and they need someone, you know, from my experience. You know what I mean?
Jermaine, so how did this begin? I know you're a hooper, right? You played at Fresno Pacific. Was it university then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't university, college,
that's right?
Right,
it was a university, all right. Pacific University, and we had some great times there. Back in 2008, 2009, we had an incredible season under Jim Saya, and we had some great, great players that played that year. We won the championship, a great year. So I learned a lot, and I learned how to give back, and I learned how to help the next group of upcoming players. Understand, you know, how to get through adversity, how to accept challenges, develop a competitive spirit, and then also a few other things we really focused on is just having that emotional intelligence when you're out there playing. Sometimes you lose yourself, and you have to get back to, you know, finding yourself and then supporting your team and being coachable. You know, those things are all important, and so we try to instill those values by mentoring the kids and helping them, you know, walk through the challenges of everyday life.
So the kids come to you, and you hopefully just help them not only on the court, right?
Yes.
But in life studies.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Studying, getting good grades, the respect factor is probably huge as well, right?
Correct, yes. We really do our best to work with kids of all ages, all backgrounds, all different walks of life, you know, and We've done a great job doing that. We give them experiences that they would normally get through their hard work and their determination. We had a chance to take a group to Orlando, Florida, and we won a championship at the ESPN Wide World of Sports.
All right.
That was a really big, big moment for us, you know.
That's all right. Let's hear from some of these kids, right?
Absolutely.
And looking out there, you know, we got kids from Madera, Fresno Christian, Clovis North, Merced.
Yes.
Let's bring out some kids. Let's ask them what this program has brought to them.
All right.
Maybe Coach Celso.
Who would like to come on first?
They're all shaking their heads.
Let's go with the oldest one.
Yeah, let's start
with the oldest. Start with the oldest. Show them how it's done.
Let's start with the leader.
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll bring up Noah Colton.
All right. Noah, Coach, yeah. We'll keep you on.
All right.
Noah's at Fresno Christian, right? So, Noah, hey, Noah, how you doing?
Good.
All right. Yeah, looking good. Just tell us where you're at in school right now, what year you are, and how the season's going for you so far.
Yeah, so right now I'm at Fresno Christian, class of 2026, and season's going pretty good so far. We're, I believe, 20-5, so going on a pretty good record. We're undefeated in league, so hopefully the main goal is trying to get to selling, so that's where we're looking to go right now.
I've seen you guys play a couple times this year. And what I looked at some of the scores last night. You guys really put that score up on Minarets last night? Like, what, 113-35?
Yes, sir.
Come on. That's got to be a running fourth quarter. So, geez, that's like, what, 35 points probably in each quarter. So, what was clicking for you guys last night? How'd you guys do?
I mean, we were just playing unselfishly and trying to get everyone in it. You know, people off the bench came in with energy, and we just did our part out there. So
how has this program and Jermaine and JMJ basketball just helped you not only in basketball but in life as well?
Yeah. So I've been here since, I believe, fifth or sixth grade. And, you know, on and off the court, it's been building my character. You know, we hang out outside of basketball. So we go to dinners and we hang out as a friend group. And, you know, I went to Florida in, I believe, seventh or eighth grade. It was my first tournament, and we won the championship in Orlando. So I felt pretty good. And
He hit a game winner.
Oh.
Yeah.
He hit a game winner against the Bahamas national team. And it was an epic moment for us. Yeah. And it kind of defined his leadership role, because we have a lot of strong players on that team. And he stands out tremendously.
Was the score tied? Were you guys down one? What type of shot did he hit?
I think it was down one. They just had missed the free throw. Or down two. They just had missed the free throw. And we came down the court. I got the ball. I knew I was going to put up the shot. Took one dribble from half court. Shot it, and it felt good. So
come on, from half court?
Yeah, it was a steal. they ended up turning it over, and he stole it, like, in midair, turned, took the dribble, went up with his signature three, and knocked it down, and the game was over, and we all lost it. And this is it, ESPN Wide World of Sports, so yeah. It couldn't have been a bigger moment for us, you know. And so that carried over. You know, we took that momentum. We went to Las Vegas, and we won a championship there. He played against a team from Canada. Coach came over and, you know, congratulated him on a great performance. And so we took that momentum. You know, we went to Indiana, traveled all the way to Indiana and played in the U.S. Open.
All right.
And that was a big moment for us, too. But all of those moments defined, you know, the character of the players, and they're able to bring that back to the Central Valley.
No fear on that last shot, too. I like That's it, right? Just take the shot. That's awesome. All right, Coach. Let's, Jermaine, let's bring on a couple other kids.
All right.
We're well represented here.
Let's go.
And I think Fresno Christian, right, going to be in division, a high seed in Division 4. So they're looking really strong this year. Looking real good.
Sir, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, who do we got now, Jermaine?
This is Jordan Leon. Jordan Leon from Clovis North.
Hey, Jordan, how are you?
Good.
How are you? Good. So you're a freshman at Clovis North, mm-hmm. right? So we broadcasted the game last night, the varsity game against Buchanan. Were you there watching that?
Yeah.
So you played earlier in that day. I saw a little bit of the JV mm-hmm. game.
Yeah.
Are you on the freshman team or the JV?
Freshman.
So did you guys play earlier that day?
Yeah, we did.
How'd you do?
I did good. We won, I believe, 71-28.
All right. So how has this program and how has Jermaine helped you in basketball?
It's helped me, like, a lot. On and off the court, he's helped me a lot. It helped develop my character, me as a person, and on the court. And I couldn't ask for a better coach. With him, my dad, and all the coaches, they've all put in so much time to help develop me.
That's awesome. What's your favorite type of drill? Is there like a favorite drill that you got? Are you a shooter? Are you a slasher? Like, what do you like to do on the court?
Probably a shooter. I like – there's a lot of good drills we do. Me, personally, I like to scrimmage. It's probably the funnest.
And Jordan is a facilitator for us. He likes to be the floor general. You know, he's a coach's son. His dad coaches Celso Leon as well, you know, my right-hand man. So Jordan comes in and gets the team together, and he leads them. And so he does a really great job of that.
Jordan, who's your favorite basketball player of all time? Ooh. Who do you got?
Kyrie Irving.
You're a Kyrie guy. Why do you like Kyrie?
I like the way he facilitates the ball. He's a great ball handler, and he's someone I look up to as a player.
He might there's some people that say that he actually might be the greatest ball handler of all time. Kyrie, right? Yeah, he can do some silly stuff out there.
Yeah.
He can do some silly stuff.
I mean, that game winner he hit with the left hand running floater over a 7-footer, that was incredible. That was incredible.
What about you, Jermaine? Who's your favorite player? I haven't asked you yet.
Well, for a long time it was Paul George. Yeah, Fresno native. I mean, Fresno State. I like Paul George. You know, I like the style, I like this game. And growing up, it was Larry Johnson.
No, right.
Grandmama. Yeah, that UNLV. Yeah, Larry Johnson was a, you know, big high flyer. I like above the rim players.
I think people think that Larry Johnson was like 6'8", 6'9". He's like barely 6'6", maybe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, barely.
Played,
you know,
bigger than his height.
Yeah, yeah, and he played for Turkanian, and so, you know, he got some great coaching there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He became, you know, the first-round pick and in the draft and ended up playing for the Charlotte Hornets, and so that was my team for a long time. But Paul George.
Paul George, PG. Guy. There's a lot of love for Paul George out here. All right, let's bring in – we got about 5 minutes here, so we're going to try to get in as many of your guys
let's
as
go,
possible. So who do we got?
All right, we got Brandon Rooks coming up from Merced. Got yours.
Okay,
you,
so
thank you, Jordan.
So good job, Jordan. So this young man, he was – I got to say, man, he was the first one here. He was here at like 10:15. So
yes.
Right there, you make an impact, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be early.
Yeah, Brandon came in from Merced today. You know, it's a special moment for him. So thank you, Brandon.
And he's tall. What? Yeah. How tall are you, Brandon?
Like 6'4".
6'4". All yeah. right. So where are you playing at right now?
I'm currently at El Capitan in Merced High School.
And
Merced.
And you're a freshman.
Yeah.
And you're a freshman. So you make drives to Fresno to work out and to practice and all that?
Sometimes when I'm out here. And then usually I have, like, practice at school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you on – what team are you on at El Capitan in Merced?
JV.
You're on the JV team. Next year, maybe varsity? Are
yeah.
they talking about that?
Playoffs, going up there for playoffs.
There you go. All right. I like to hear that. So, Coach, why don't you talk about Brandon right now and just kind of what you see with his skill set and the potential that he has.
Yeah, so when we first got Brandon was about 6 foot in the sixth grade. And, you know, he was developing and, you know, trying to understand his body. And so we just kind of let Brandon decide on what kind of player he wanted to be. We didn't, you know, do your typical, hey, we're going to put you in the post because you're taller. We just kind of let him evolve, and he fell in love with the three-point line. And so Brandon is probably a very good three-point shooter and a good ball handler. So he developed that outside, but he also has a very strong presence inside. He's a tremendous shot blocker, and he plays above the rim. You know, he's only a freshman, but he's a high flyer.
You can dunk the basketball.
Yeah.
What was your first dunk? You remember your first one?
Yeah, it wasn't with JMJ, but it was like when I had freshly moved to Merced. There was an AAU team out there, and then we had went to a tournament in SAC, and then I got like a fast break steal, and I just dunked it.
Did you even think about it? It was just a reaction, like just went up and did it.
What grade were you in when you got your first dunk?
I think it was like seventh grade.
Yeah. Dunking in seventh grade. Now, well, I shook his hand too. He's got big old hands. Yeah. Probably palmed the basketball already, right? That helps. All right, Brandon, so how has JMJ basketball helped you?
It's helped me a lot. When I first got here, I didn't know basketball. I was like a football player, and then I went to basketball. But it helped me a lot. And then, like, it helped me get, like, from being bad at basketball to get good and being able to travel the world and stuff and see things most kids dream.
Awesome. Did you go on that Florida trip too?
Yeah.
You able to go to Florida? That's
yeah.
awesome. How are kids? So you mentioned, right, you know, the financial part, right?
Yes.
So how are you able to finance trips like that?
So we rely heavy on generous contributions from donors. We have a nonprofit organization, jmjyouthservices.org, and people will see that we're doing great work, and they will usually want to support the kids and sponsor us and help us achieve our goals of, you know, traveling and playing in these big events, because these events are all about exposure and opportunity, and we focus on the development side. And so when you focus on doing your work, usually good things happen when you're doing good stuff.
Absolutely good stuff. All right, so we got about 2 minutes here, Coach. We got
okay,
some more
we'll
players
give,
you want to bring
yeah,
in real
yeah,
quick.
We'll give a minute to the girls.
All right, girls.
Girls, come on.
Don't
over.
Be shy. Thanks, Brandon. Good luck.
So we'll start with Juliana, and then we'll do
Kiki.
Yep, Kiki.
All right, so Juliana. All right, so what school are you at right now?
Rio Vista Middle School.
All right, and so how is being involved in JMJ basketball helped you?
It helped me build my character and my confidence.
I think, yeah, all right, now you look familiar. I've seen your video. I've seen you switching some shots there from the top of the key. So how has they helped you with your confidence, right, just instilling the belief in you?
Like just building my confidence, like it really helped me as a player and just like be able to just go in the game.
Awesome. All right, good job, Juliana. All right, we only got a minute here. We got to bring
thank
in
you,
Kiki.
Juju.
We got to get
you.
Everybody a voice.
Let's go,
keep that jump shot going there, Juliana. All right, Kiki. So what school are you from and what grade are you in?
I go to school in Madera, and it's Stone Creek Elementary.
So what grade are you in?
Sixth.
You're in sixth grade. All right. So what basketball team are you playing at Stone Creek?
There isn't really, like, basketball there, but I usually just practice with JMJ, and it's, like, been helping me as a basketball player.
That's awesome. All right. We got about 30 seconds. Say some good things about these young women here.
Well, Juliana and Kiki, they play on the same team. Same travel team, and it's the California Roses. It's our girls' addition to JMJ basketball, and we've been working on it for quite some time. And they just went to NorCal and Stockton and played in a tournament and won the 13U championship for the fall league with NorCal Sports TV.
It was
amazing. And Kiki ended up becoming the MVP of the tournament, only in the sixth grade, playing up with middle school girls. So a lot of powerful moments with these girls that are. We're looking forward to.
Confidence is big. Powerful testimonies here. These kids have definitely been impacted.
World where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And we just had an influx of people here at the store, man. It was a little chaotic for a while. Just a lot of people from JMJ basketball, a lot of kids trying to come on and say a few things about how they've grown in basketball and in life. So thanks to those kids for coming in. And people were getting their Letterman's jackets fitted as well. This is the Letterman's jacket headquarters here at First String Sports. So again, thanks to them for sponsoring the show and 1430 ESPN as well. We have Brian Duckworth in the house right here, live here. He's the head basketball coach for the girls program at McLean, the all-time leading scorer in Sunnyside history. He was had a great award ceremony we're going to get into a few weeks back by Sunnyside and all the great things that he's done in the community as well. So Brian, we were talking a little bit off air about, like, we know each other, but, you know, see each other and say hi or whatnot, but don't know each other. So this is awesome to hear from you about your story and what you are doing for basketball here in the Central section. But no game last night, right? No. So time to take a little rest, right? Spend some time with the family.
Definitely. Just, you know, gave the girls a day off, a night off, and we just kind of just, you know, give everybody time to relax. And, you know, it's needed. Long season. We're down to our last game coming Tuesday. 26 games. I think it was just, you know, it was a much-needed break.
And have you had your senior night yet?
Yeah, we had our senior night Thursday night. Okay. We had one senior, Jada Barber, who was playing for me ever since I got to McLean 3 years ago. So it was good. And for us as coaches, it was great seeing her get that moment because she's, you know, just the things that she goes through in her life, you can see the adversity that she's faced and just pushing through those challenges. And it's like I said, it was really great seeing her shine like that on that night.
Especially since you came 3 years ago to McLean, so you've seen her growth from day one through going through all the adversity, right?
Definitely. And it's like I said, it was great to see. And she's a great kid, and I know she's going to do great things going forward. And just the support she received that night was everything was, like, perfect for her.
That's great. So how have you seen growth, right? A lot of seasons are measured by growth from the summertime to the end of the basketball season. But this year's team at McLean, how have you seen the growth with the girls?
Just the camaraderie. Growing through the season together. We had injuries. We faced injuries. We had a couple of minor setbacks, and the girls continued to stay positive, and they pushed through those things. And you know, the record might not reflect exactly the growth, but the wins and losses might not reflect it. But I mean, the growth that we've seen just being there, and it's been good to see. And I feel like we're headed in the right direction.
X's and O's and all that stuff, and we're going to get into a lot of basketball stuff in a little bit, but X's and O's are a part of the game,
right?
When you're coaching high school basketball, you know, it's more than just the scoreboard,
yes,
or the X's and O's, like I said. It's about the growth, not only of the team, but through, you know, the individual players as well. So, but you as a coach, right, you're in a special situation. How have you been able to, you know, relate to the girls, and how are you able to, you know, instill confidence in them, and how has that process been?
You know, it's one of those things, like, it's just like teaching, right? Like, you want to get to know your students. You want to get to know them as best you can so you can help them succeed any way possible, the best way possible. So, for me, it's just getting to know them, not you know, coming in with an open mind, not judging nobody, and just being there, being a support system for them, being a listener that they might need. You know, sometimes it's just me listening and not saying anything for them to vent. Or they ask me for advice, and it's just, that's for me, it's like when they come to me and ask me those things that they might not ask other people, it lets me know that, like, we built that connection to where that trust is there.
Was that easy for you to figure out as a coach? Does that come natural for you?
No, it's kind of like, you know, I was a player once, and those relationships for me were the strongest. Those coaches that were real, authentic to me, those were the ones that I still talk to today, and we got great relationships, and I feel like it's built so much built off trust and trusting that you're putting me in the right situations, you're pushing me forward to success.
And right, a lot of talk these days about how kids have changed. Right, I've been in education for a long time. And you have as well. You know, you're working on your teaching credential right now, yeah. But yeah, the heart of a kid has not changed, though, right? Like, if you pull something out, right, the best you can, and whether it's coming, you know, coming through being a good listener, whether it's coming through, maybe you got to be hard on a kid sometimes, right?
100%.
There's different ways. You got to have that relationship, though, right? You can't come in as a yeller and a screamer right away.
Yeah.
Boom, because kids aren't dumb. They'll figure you out pretty quick, right?
Pretty quick, and they can see it. You know, the expressions on your face, everything. Kids read really well. You know, that's one thing I have learned. They'll read you really well. And like you said, every kid's different, right? Like, every kid's background's different. So you got to come with that, just, you know, willing to understand. Have some patience. That's the biggest thing I learned about it, is just being patient.
What's the biggest difference, you think, Brian, between coaching boys and coaching girls? What have you found out with that?
Patience. The biggest thing is patience. 100%. And that's probably the best thing I could say about all of it, is just having patience. Don't
be quick to judge.
Don't be
right.
Quick to
hear
judge.
Them out.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah, you might have to adapt what, you know, something that you're not used to. You might have to adapt your ways of coaching to something new, because, you know, you're in a different situation now.
Yeah.
So you can't necessarily be stuck exactly in what you normally do, because sometimes you have to adjust.
Exactly. And Brian, I know you come from a very big and loving family, a lot of love with basketball, the game of basketball as well. So just talk about your family and what they've meant to you. And I know you got a young daughter too. I'm going to ask you later, like, what does she like, basketball or soccer? Because I know your wife likes soccer, but like, family, like, talk about your family and how much they mean to you.
My support system was great. And I can't express enough how much that was important for me, playing sports. Seeing my mom at every game. I mean, I can literally tell you that she's missed two games my whole 4 years of high school. And I can tell you those days, and you know what I mean? Cause it was that important to me. And the fact that she just believed and trusted in me, and, my uncle Corey Duckworth, who took me under his wing and took me to open gyms places and workouts and things that I wouldn't have done if he wasn't around. You know, it was more or less those people supporting me and seeing something in me that pushed me to keep going.
I want to get back a little bit to just growing up. Like, where did you grow up? You're a Fresno guy through and through, and elementary and junior high and going into high school.
I was I'm an East Side Fresno kid, Southeast Fresno. I went to Ainsworth Elementary, Lane Elementary, went to Kings Canyon Middle School, played on one of probably the best middle school teams. Assembled with a lot of good guys, and then I ended up at Sunnyside High School, and just being from that area was great, because a lot of guys in that area helped mold me, just playing constantly outside, playing basketball with a bunch of good athletes growing up in that area, it was good for me. And it was a great community.
Time frame wise, just remind me, what year did you graduate from Sunnyside?
I graduated in 2005.
2005. All right. So growing up, right? I'm an 80s kid, yeah. Right? So, you know, back then, just get home from school, you automatically just go out and play, you do whatever, you know, play some tackle football or you go shoot some hoops or whatever, and then you come home for dinner, right? Was that kind of like your experiences growing up, like just go find a pickup game or go hang out with some guys and play some ball and then come home?
100%. I was fortunate enough, I lived in an apartment, so it was like even better. It was like it was great. You know, you walk outside and there's always something to do. There's basketball, there's football, we're playing tag, we're playing hide and seek, we're going swimming, we're kickball, we're just doing whatever we can do to have fun. And you know, you don't realize that all these things are helping you grow, you know, and helping your skills. And that was the best part about it. From sun up to sundown, we had something to do.
Did you have to take your lumps though? And of course, you mentioned that Uncle Corey would take you out, and you take your little whoopings.
For sure, definitely. We didn't. I mean, you know, that was part of me getting better too. Was playing with older people. I think that was one of the things that benefited me the most, was being able to play with older people and understanding the game. Because playing against those guys and then going back and playing high school was just a faster pace. So it helped me tremendously playing with those guys.
Talking with Brian Duckworth, played at Sunnyside High School, the school's all-time leading scorer. Do you remember, Brian, when you first fell in love with basketball, when you started taking me a little more serious?
I fell in love with it probably about the age, I'd say about 6 or 7, just being around, constantly around it. Mom kind of put it out there. She let me play everything. I played all sports, but then it was just like that was a sport that was like, you know, I never kind of got away from it. I loved it. It was fun. But, I told you a little bit earlier, I love soccer at one point, too, in my life. And so it was just more or less like basketball was just – it took over.
You mentioned that middle school team. Like, who you guys just would whoop everybody, like 50-12, or talk about some of those teams.
Yeah, we were pretty good. We had Trayvon Willis and Trayvon
say no
Willis
more.
Was a seventh grader, and he was really good. We had Patrick Murphy, DeAndre Newhouse, Zeb White. We had a lot of good guys on that team. And I mean, we had guys that at our school that didn't even play that were good players. You know? So it's like, I mean, we were beating teams by 20 plus points a game, and I mean, we were putting up 60, 70 points in the middle school, so it was pretty fun.
Playing on outside courts, or were you playing in gyms back then?
In gyms.
All right. So you get to Sunnyside High School. What were your expectations going into Sunnyside?
You know, it's kind of wild. My mom kind of set them for me. She was kind of like, you know, go to Sunnyside. It's brand new school. Make your own records. You know, go try to win a championship. Go try to do something that hasn't been done there yet. Because my intentions was to go to, you know, Bullard, Edison, Washington, somewhere else, you know. But she was like, no, you need to go to Sunnyside. And I was like, all right.
Did you know, a lot of guys there? A lot of those guys that you played junior high with, though, I mean, went to different schools, though, right?
Yeah, I had a select group of probably about 5 or 6 guys that we from my team that went to Sunnyside with me. But also, yeah, like you said, mentioned 3 or 4 guys went to Edison. Trayvon obviously went to Washington Union. So it kind of split us up a little bit, but it was a lot of core guys I was with, we stayed.
Did you know the coaches at Sunnyside at that time, or you just kind of going blindly?
Kind of going in blindly a little bit. I was more coming in eighth grade. I knew about Dan, because I was playing with Bullard. So Dan Kilbert, Coach Upoff, those guys. That's who I was playing with in the summer. So, I was kind of going in blind.
And you end up being the school's all-time leading scorer, 1,539 points. What are some of the memories? It wasn't that long ago, right? What, we got 20 years ago? Yeah. It seemed like a long time ago.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
It's 20 years.
Yeah, it doesn't. That was, you know what? Honestly, it comes from just playing hard. The biggest thing for me was always about winning. I always want to make sure that we were known as a good team. I absolutely hate losing. I mean, it's just what it is. So it was never really about me. It was more about the name on the chest, right? Like, I wanted Sunnyside to be known as a good basketball team. And we all, like my teammates, everybody, we all had that same mindset. Like, we want to win. So that's what it was for me, just constantly playing hard. I've always been that way. That's the only way I know how to play the game. And so it works.
So freshman year, are you on varsity as a freshman?
I'm on JV.
You're on JV?
I'm on JV.
And then sophomore year varsity?
Sophomore year varsity and hit the ground running.
So what are some like basketball memories, like on the court stuff, playing in those days? Is there a specific rival or a dude that you were matched up against?
Oh, like the Sunnyside Edison game was always special. Always, because I had five cousins that was on the Edison team. So it's always a special, always a good game. Like, the game's going to be packed, jam-packed. It's going to sell out. Like, it's going to be – everybody's going to show up. It's just one of those games you couldn't miss. I loved it.
Who got the best? Did you get the best of Edison, or they got the best of you?
I definitely got the best of Edison.
All right. Well, is there one specific game that I you remember, like, where you got them?
No, but it was one specific game where, well, we won the Clovis Elks Championship against Edison. That was a big one for us. That was a big one for us. I think that might have been the last one, maybe. But it was a good game. It was all the way down to the end, to the wire. And, I mean, I think we won by, like, 2 points. So it was, like, it was fun.
Like, the hype-wise, right? You talked about the crowds and getting ready, like – were you an anxious kind of guy, or were you kind of calm, or were you hyped up? Like, what was your
up. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved, like, the big games. I loved the Edisons. Then my senior year, obviously, we played against Memorial with, you know, Poindexter and Quincy and the Lopez twins. And so, like, those games were, like, I love those type of games. I live for those type of games. Like, those moments, I love it.
You kind of miss it, right? Yeah. Right now, I could hear it in your voice. All right, so what type of, like, if you were to describe your game, if, like, a opposing coach had a scouting report on you, like, what would the scouting report say? What's your game like? Slasher, defender, play hard.
Play hard, gonna defend, could shoot it. I could just about do a little bit of everything. Like, I can do just a little bit of everything. I'm gonna distribute the ball. I'm gonna play defense. I'm gonna get steals. Like, I'm just gonna try to do it all.
All right. So college, was college like on your radar? I think you had a couple stops in college, but when did like college become a serious thing? Like, hey, I think I could play college basketball.
It started in like seventh grade. Like, my focus was I'm going to college. I'm gonna play college basketball. And like again, I always had like Corey to look up to. Corey was always like the person. He was a few years older than me. And he was doing it, you know, he did it before me. So I always had kind of like somebody to look up to kind of follow in that path.
So when did like some college coaches start talking to you, and where'd you end up going?
I got some early like looks, like early talk to's from just certain schools, like probably like my junior, senior year, I started getting little letters, you know, just like the, not really like offer letter, but just like, you know, information type letters. And then I ended up having to go to National Juke. I went to junior college. So I went to
Sheridan?
I went to Sheridan in Wyoming. And, again, something that Corey helped me out with because he went to a school out there. And the best experience I could have had, the best experience I've ever could have had in my life, I think it had changed me as a basketball player.
Why?
Just being out there alone, not having anybody, and just – grinding it out every day. And the coach was great. He was an authentic coach, real down to earth. Me and him still talk to this day. He made me grow up as a person, as a man. And I think that was like where I turned over. Like he helped me become a better person.
He flipped it for you.
Definitely.
A little bit.
Definitely. He showed me what family was about. He showed me what being a man was about, being a husband was about. And ultimately is being a coach that cared for his players, but at the same time was still hard on us.
And that was JC?
Yes,
that was JC. So 2 years there?
2 years there.
And then you played at Lewis and Clark State?
Yes, sir.
How did that go for you?
That was fun, too. Great 2 years.
it was fun. Like, you know, junior college, I went to a national tournament. We won a conference championship. My first year at Lewis and Clark, we went to a national tournament. We won a conference championship. So I experienced playing two national tournaments, two conference championships, and pretty much played 25, 30 minutes a game, 38 minutes a game the next year. And so I played a lot and I had a great time and we didn't lose much. So it was fun.
Well, that's a theme, right? I sense a theme in hearing all your stories, right? You play hard and you want to win.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Sounds pretty simple.
That's it. That's all I, you know, hey, let's make it fun, but let's win.
So you probably played in some pretty good pickup games as well.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Like, what's like the best pickup game you think you can remember that you played in? Something that, I don't know, maybe you had a crazy experience in, maybe, right? Because pickup games can get nasty sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I've you know, I don't know if you, I don't know if you remember, but I've, during Quincy camps, Poindexter camps, we have a lot of, like, he'll have a lot of open gyms where he's bringing NBA guys in. So those are always fun, obviously, because it's a lot of competition. It's a lot of D1 guys, NBA guys, and you're out there competing. And then growing up, just playing, being able to play, like, guys that, you know, I kind of looked up to, like, being able to go to Tessie Will, or not Tessie, Dan Gamble's, and playing against, like, you know, Corey and Javance Coleman and Jervis Coleman, all these other great Fresno, like, guys that I grew up watching. Just being able to be in the gym with those guys and playing against those guys were, like, that's, like, again, that's what made me a better player.
Yeah, those pickup games, right? You learn a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to pick and choose when you call foul, if at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to learn how to play. If you can't play with these guys, you can't get on the court.
Who are you mentioned your uncle Corey and what he meant to you as well. Like, are there some other guys in your life, men in your life? You mentioned that your junior college coach as well that have really helped mentor you to become the person you are today.
Yeah, I've you know, another guy that really, like, started it for me, honestly, two guys, was in high school when I got to Sunnyside. Stephen Shelley took me under his wing right away. And made sure that, like, I stayed focused and I stayed on track. And JT Taylor, who was my first coach, he's actually a Roosevelt varsity girls coach right now. Jerry Taylor, he another guy that looked out for me when I was in high school, made sure I was doing the right things, making sure I was getting places. So him and Stephen Shelley are two people that really, like, Stephen Shelley is the reason why I became a PE teacher too. He made it look really fun. And so, for me, it that's what got me going.
I want to go back just a little bit, talking with Brian Ducker. We've got about another two or three minutes here. Go back to that January 25th at Sunnyside. I saw the pictures, right? Saw the video of you and just surrounded by family, how they celebrated you and the leading scorer in school history. Like, did just the memories flood back, or just how much did you appreciate that moment?
I mean, I appreciate it. For sure. Like, I'm super humble and I loved it. I mean, even if for it to happen, even if it happened 20 years later, it still feels great, like, to know that, you know, I made a mark on that school, and that's something that's going to stay there forever.
And you still got the playing bug. Yeah. And I watched you the last couple of years in the Fresno Pro-Am just getting after it. And just kind of how fun is that, playing in that league and playing, you know, and putting the high tops back on.
Oh, it's fun. It's a blessing to still be able to play that at right now. And until somebody can carry me off the court, I'll keep playing. it's a great, for me, it's a great stress relief. It just keeps me going. And I got a young daughter, so I got to try to keep going anyway for her.
All right. So your wife, soccer coach at Clovis West for a while. She's at Sunnyside now?
No, she's back at Clovis West, actually.
She's back? Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, there you go.
She's
all right.
Back at West.
Back at West. Soccer player, and you have a daughter. And I got to tell you, man, from a girl dad to a girl dad, enjoy the moments, man.
Oh,
it goes by fast. And love that little daughter. But what do you think? Did you put a basketball in her crib early? Did your wife put a soccer ball in there? Like, how's that going to go?
We put both in there, right? We put both in there. But, you know, for us right now, she's, you know – me and my wife are both both athletes, two sport athletes, but we also both teachers that we understand. So for us, it's more or less not pushing nothing towards her, letting her have her own way. Whether it's she could might be want to be a swimmer. We don't know. We don't care. Whatever it is, we just want to be able to support her any possible way. Like right now, she's probably. I mean, honestly, you would think she's an actor or a dancer or a singer or something. That's what she does the most right now. So,
how old is she right now?
She's two.
She's two.
She's two.
That's two. Great. All right. All right. Last question here with Brian. Favorite NBA player or favorite player? I'm not gonna just cap it with NBA, but favorite player of all time is who?
Oh, Michael Jordan. It's gotta be Michael Jordan. It's just
no question.
No question. It's the mentality. It's just everything about it. Or Kobe.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know that for me they go hand in hand. So it's just the mentality and the willing to work and the mind and just everything about it.
And the killer attitude
instinct. Competitive, just constantly wants to win, hates losing. Like it's the drive.
That's you, Brian Duckworth. All right, thanks for coming on the show, Brian. Really appreciate getting to know you and your story, doing great things in the community, and keep it up.
Thank you, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Brian Duckworth. We got Josh Bergman, the head coach at CVC, coming up next. You're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. We're here with Josh Bergman, head boys basketball coach at Central Valley Christian. They had a banger against Kingsburg. They pulled it out 41-38. They are now 18-9 on the season, 5-2 in league. They are the Tri-County, Kings County champions, at least co-champs, right?
Correct.
At least co-champs. And Josh, one of the things I appreciate about you, among many things. I have a long list of things. I can't say it. It would take, 10 minutes. But, when I asked you to come on the show, you came on last year, but you said yes even before the Kingsburg game. So win or lose, I think that's a big step for you, right?
Yeah, that's a big
win or
step.
Lose, you still said yes to come on the show. So, I don't want to say this on air, but let's just say it's always a little bit easier when coaches come on after a win.
Correct.
Let's go over that win.
Well,
right?
Yeah, so you know me back in my younger days, Paul. I was pretty competitive, and I wasn't always a gracious loser. So having been a little more mature now and a few more years under my belt, I have decided that winning is good, but coming on your show after win is very important.
Very important. And how old are you right now?
50. I turned 50 this year.
So you just learned that now, right?
Just learned it now.
You're maturing, Josh. You are maturing at 50 years old. Yes. We're all not all finished products, that's for darn sure. All right, so anticipation for the Kingsburg game. They beat you pretty good. I think, 59-45, something like that, at their place. Big rivalry. Senior night. Lots of drama going into that Thursday's game. And just talk about the game plan and how it unfolded in that Thursday matchup.
Yeah, so we knew it was going to be a tough game. We knew it was going to be hard to score against them. Mm-hmm. Their length is a real problem. They're very big. They're long. They shoot the ball well. They have a size advantage on us. But we're a confident group, and we knew they had beat us by 15, but I felt like we competed hard. I think it was a two-point game at Kingsburg at halftime, and then we got in some foul trouble. And we lost some of our composure and kind of changed the outcome of that game, and they kind of ran away with it at the end. But we never really lost confidence. We felt like we could do it. And I felt like our team turned a corner in the last couple weeks, just going on. I think we've won four games in a row now. We had a big win against Sierra Pacific, who's very tough. And we knew they had –
And Sierra Pacific had beaten Kingsburg twice, right?
Twice, yeah. So that game just kind of prepared us, like, and gave us a new confidence, having played them a couple days before Kingsburg. So, and then in the last couple of weeks, our defense has just changed. We talked a lot about it's very important. We don't have a lot of size outside of our big Caden Lloyd, who's a stud.
Yeah.
6'9" kid, had a great senior year. But when he goes out in foul trouble, we struggle. And so we talked a lot about him and just staying vertical, moving our feet better, and just putting ourselves in better positions at the end of games. And we were able to do that.
Well, Kingsburg starts, Hirschcorn 6'7", yeah. And Swenning is what, 6'6", maybe 6'7" as well.
They're absolute great players.
Yeah.
Gus, probably one of the best offensive players in the area. Jensen is offense, but he's a really fantastic defender too.
Yeah.
And Coach Phil does a great job with them, and we knew we had our hands full. But I was really, really glad with the outcome.
Obviously. And so we talked a little bit before the game and senior night. So senior night, what does that mean for a lot of programs? You're starting seniors. You're starting guys that maybe only get 2 minutes a game. Yeah. So you stuck with that, Josh, right? You started all five seniors,
yes.
Right? Your son didn't start.
Correct.
He was a freshman. And you're like, man, I just want to get past that, right? Hopefully we can have, you know, we're not going to get blown out in the first, you know, 3 minutes. But those guys did okay, didn't they?
Look at that. I was so happy, and I was not going to change because I absolutely love my five seniors. Grant Shannon, Ryan Vandertag, Austin Vandertag, Gunnar Peepgrass, and Caden Lloyd have just poured their heart and soul into our program. And they're great players too. And I just knew they would come out. Being senior night, I knew they were going to be high energy. And we had a packed gym. The student body came out. You know, it was just a really special night. And I decided, you know what? It's not the best matchups because a lot of them are all
5'10".
Yeah, right? They're all kind
5'11".
Of 5'11". Yeah, not a lot of ball handling in there and stuff like that. But holy smokes, they came in. They just competed hard, and they kind of set the tone for the rest of our guys when we did sub in. And I think it was just over midway through the first quarter, and it was a one-point game. And I'm like, guys, you did phenomenal setting the tone for the rest of the game. And they held serve.
They did. And awesome. The first quarter was actually, what, 9-5?
Yeah.
Right? So you guys only gave up those 5 points in the first quarter. All right, really quick, the last possession of the game, Kingsburg had time to tie it, right? 41-38. Like, what were you telling your team in the huddle before that? And they did end up getting off a shot.
They did.
But so, what would you tell your team?
So, first off, there was about 11 seconds left, and we knew they were taking it in the backcourt. So, we wanted to run a little time off. We had a couple fouls to give as well. So, we talked about intentionally fouling, you know, as soon as they kind of got into their handle before they could shoot. And that took off about 6 seconds. And then they were down to 6 seconds, and then he called another timeout, or after the foul, and they got the ball out of bounds on the sideline, and called a timeout. And Coach Phil was lining up a play, and we decided we're going to switch everything hard. You know, we were going to give up any kind of two, but any kind of down screen, cross screens, we were going to switch everything and commit to it. And they did it. Gus still got a shot off, fade away three, and he makes those. It was kind of scary, but I was really glad when it missed. And it was a fun night for our seniors to celebrate.
I was able to tweet out the final celebration. You give the old, you know, hands up, clenched up, kind of deal. So you guys at least clinched a tie. I want to go back, Josh, to the beginning of the year. You know, I knew you talked about your big man that you're able to bring back. Put up what I think 18 and 12, averaging 18 and 13 maybe. Expectations before the season compared to where you guys are at now, right? 18 and 9, right? Yeah. That's a darn good season, right?
Yeah.
5-2 in league. Has this team like played about what you thought, a little bit better? Have they surprised you?
They have absolutely surprised me and exceeded all my expectations. I think even theirs too. I couldn't be more proud. First off, at CVC, you know, we have such a great football program. We're always starting late in the year. So I go through my first 7, 8, 9 games with a small roster. So we started off the season in the Highway 58 shootout in November. I took 8 players, and I ended up with 7 because we had a player get hurt. So we had 7 players, and we ended up getting 3rd place in the Highway 58 shootout, which has a lot of really good teams from Bakersfield. And that kind of set the tone for our season. And then we ended up in the Dinuba tournament, and I'm like, we just beat Lemoore, and then we beat Dinuba.
Yeah.
And these are some really good programs, and we end up in the championship game against Tulare Union, and we're up 7, under 2 minutes to go, and probably my fault, but we ended up losing by 2 points to Tulare Union, who's a fantastic team this year, in the finals of the Andrew Bedoya tournament, and we're doing this with 4 underclassmen.
Wow.
And they play significant minutes. 3 of them start. and they've started most of the season. So I can't be more happier with this group. From last year's team to this year's, we lost 50 points a game in three players wow. last year that graduated, transferred, or are sitting out for personal reasons. And I was like, where are we going to make up that kind of offense? So we kind of changed our whole team identity. Over the summertime, we had to become a defensive team, where last year we were winning games 88 to 82.
And this is the time, Josh, in the interview where I say you have to become a defensive team, yeah. right? And for Josh Bergman, those who know Josh, the word defense wasn't in his vocabulary for very long.
I wasn't a very good defender, Paul. No, that's exactly right. So for me to be able to teach it, it's like, don't do as I do.
That's what your assistants are for.
Do as I say, you know, don't do as I did.
Watch this YouTube video on defense.
But no, we changed our identity, and we became more of a defensive-minded team, and it's really worked out. I just couldn't be more happier with this group.
So mentioned your son. He's here with us at First String Sports, talking with Josh Bergman, and a freshman. Right. And you knew pretty early, right, when you're going to get this gig, this is your second year at CVC, that he was going to be up as a freshman. And it's not easy. Right. We have seen that even in my own playing days. Right. When you're a freshman or even a sophomore going up and playing with juniors and seniors, that could be a difficult transition. Yeah. And even then coaching your son. Right. So you got, a couple things that you're going to have to navigate through the season. It's been pretty smooth, though, right? You got a good player. You got a good son, yeah. Right? I mean, you've been blessed. Let's just put it that way, right? So how has that been, though, coaching your son?
Yeah, so Jaden has just been a gem to coach. The most difficult part for me is just allowing – and I've been intentional about this – allowing the other coaches on our staff to pour into them. I have phenomenal coaches, Craig Cummings, Ron Moore, legendary
Ron
freshman.
Moore, yeah.
He's been a huge help for me. But my brother-in-law, Craig Cummings, so Jaden's uncle, Ron Moore, as well as Brian Hyde, all just pouring into him. And I'm just allowing them to kind of coach him. And I'm still coach, but I'm dad first. And that's the most important thing to me. I try at home, and my wife, Michelle, does a really good job of keeping me on track. But we try not to talk too much basketball. Because we do it a lot, and we're just trying to create good balance for him and talk about other things. And even though it's hard, but I'm trying. That's been the hardest part.
What, 12 points, just under 4 assists a game. And, yeah, he's been impressive, right? I've watched a lot of basketball in the Central Section, and he controls the game very well, right? And that's an important part. He doesn't force things. Right? I mean, is that like what's been like for you? Let's just say as coach, let's turn to Coach Bergman. Like, what does he bring to the court that's impressed you?
So the best part of Jaden is he's so well liked by his yeah. teammates. He's just an extremely humble kid. He's unselfish. He never, ever self-promotes himself, ever. He lets other people tell him, but you'll never hear him talk about himself. And I just think that's a trait that is rare these days, especially in social media. You'll never see him boast or brag or anything like that. He's a quiet leader. He leads by example. He works extremely hard. He does not take days off. He's shooting every day. He's doing conditioning every day. But what I hear mostly from other coaches about Jaden is poise and confidence. Yeah. He's very, very hard to rattle. And, that's a trait that I think is just in him. I think he gets it from his mom, because I was easily rattled, and I let trash talk or whatever get into me, and I would respond with doing it back. He is very quiet. You will not see him react. If he hits 10 shots in a row or misses 10 shots in a row, his reaction's the same. And if he's having a bad day, and we always say in our program, control the controllables. Control your attitude and effort every day. The defensive effort he gives, whether he's scoring 20 or scoring 5, it never stops, and it never never slows down.
Well, in that Kingsburg game, right, where points were very, very tough to come by, intense game. There's a couple sequences there. He got 2 steals in a row.
Yeah.
Right? Boom, boom, steals. So his game is definitely on point. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it in the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. It's going to continue to be fun. All right, so Central Valley Christian, where are you guys at, like, seedings-wise? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Obviously, tons of talk about it. I think you guys are base D3, correct?
Yeah, we're base 3. I think win or lose, we're probably going to be somewhere in the middle to bottom of D2 is what I see on most projections, which for me is right where I think we should be. I think we're a base 3 team, and I want to somehow build CVC. My goal is to play the best teams. I want to play up in D2, and if that's where we land, I'm going to go in and compete no matter where it is.
You don't mind going on the road?
Don't mind going on the road at all, and I love the challenge, and I eventually, you know, someday I'd love to see CVC on the map, you know, for not just being a great football, volleyball school, but basketball as well. And I want to compete with the Division II and even the Division I teams at some point.
All right, we got to see you come up to the Fresno and Clovis area. Get some games on the schedule.
Let's go. That's the plan.
All right, I like to hear that. All right, so second year, like I mentioned, at CVC. What's been some differences, Josh, that you've, I don't know, some ways in which maybe you see the game different or coaching styles different? Like, let's go back a little bit to last year. Do you feel you're just treading water, so to speak, and just learning just little nuances here and there on how to coach a program?
Yeah, so the biggest change from last year to this year is just that experience you get coaching high school kids. I've always coached AAU, where I get to select my favorite 8 players and go travel with them.
Yeah.
And I pick the favorite 8 players and my favorite parents. And it's easy. At CVC, you know, when you're doing a high school program, you get a couple players that you might have on your travel team, but then you're also coaching kids that basketball may not be their first priority. And you got to learn to somehow fit that in, and maybe they just play seasonally.
Sure.
And that's been the biggest challenge, but the one thing I think I've improved mostly on is just building the team culture. We talk a lot about staying devoted in our school. First of all, I want the kids to be devoted to Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want them to serve each other. And I think I've gotten better at trying to encourage the kids and do things together as a team for service projects. We did some with Hands in the Community this year where we moved some disabled people and just did some projects together outside of basketball. And I'm just realizing the camaraderie that they get from doing these type of things outside of the game brings them closer on the court. And I'm trying to just build that type of identity in our team. We've also done things, team camps. We went to Santa Barbara at UCSB last year in the summer, and that's just the time bonding together. And I knew I had a special team when I go to the kids and I say, who do you want to room with? Not one kid cared. They just put us together. I like everyone on this team, and that's pretty special. Whereas I've been a part of teams where it's like, nope, I got him. It's like this team just truly loves each other, and that's been the most gratifying thing for me.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Beyond basketball, right? We just had a great conversation with Brian Duckworth, and you know, he's a staple in the community. He's a baller through and through, and he works hard. He loves winning basketball games, and you know, coaching now, right? It just takes on. It's just a different animal, so to speak, as far as right the team bonding stuff, the community atmosphere, the being able to listen as a coach, right? It's just, you know, it's different being the head coach of a program, right?
No doubt.
I'm curious though, Josh, about like how you've handled game management, right? So sometimes you're sitting, sometimes you're standing, sometimes you're taking the lead in timeouts, sometimes your assistant coaches are taking timeouts. Seen you get a little hot at refs, seen you like let some things go, right?
Yeah, that's right.
let some things go. Like, is that, I mean, difference from last year to this year, like, is that just something that you're going to continue to get better as a coach as well?
Absolutely. I've tried, back in my earlier days, I was assisting my brother-in-law, Craig Cummings, at Tulare Western. He was the ex-boys varsity basketball coach there, and it was before I had kids.
Yeah.
And I got thrown out of a game, Paul.
As an assistant.
That's embarrassing.
That's a long walk.
Making the walk of shame to the locker room, and the kids watch you, and I'm like, what a horrible example that was, you know, and I deserved it. I had a foul mouth, and I deserved it. So I'm just trying to set a better example. I think it just comes with age, too, but I'm trying to stay calm and in control of my team because ultimately, you know, my kids are going to reflect me.
Sure.
And I believe teams are reflections of their coaches, and it's always in the back of my mind now that I'm modeling for them, and my composure is critical to my kids' composure.
It is.
So I'm getting better.
Getting better.
I wasn't always perfect. I'm still not, but and I still slip, but I'm trying to get better.
Got a couple minutes here with Josh Bergman. All right. Emmanuel, though, you got Emmanuel on Wednesday, rivalry game. You still got to win that game, don't you?
I do. I told the kids I hate the word co. Co-champions just doesn't sound
no,
right.
No, it doesn't.
So it's fun to go play Emmanuel. Todd Brown's one of my very good friends and ex-Sunbird, you know, Fresno yeah. Pacific. And we go to church together, and we talk all the time. And it's just a lot of fun. Emmanuel, it's going to be their senior night. Yeah. It's going to be rocking. They have a great student section there, as you know. And it's going to be a ton of fun Wednesday night. And I'm just hoping we can come in there. We haven't beat them there in a long time.
Really?
They smoked us good last year.
Yeah.
I think they beat us by 20, 21 points last year. And something always happens there. But I'm just hoping this year is that something that happens as a W for CBC.
Yep. Season's not done. And like you mentioned, maybe a low seed in D2, and you don't care where you go. I love that attitude. All right, Josh, the best shooter, I have to ask you this question, that never played college basketball, best shooter you've ever seen, is who?
You're going to enjoy this, Paul, but I think you know, buddy, it might be Paul Metters.
I set you up. You Paul, better say that, Josh.
Paul Metters used to light up the Fresno Pacific gym, man. I call him all-time intramural, man. All-time score intramurals. Let's go.
We should get a little chart, right? Like, you know, 422 points in intramurals, meaning he wasn't good enough to play college basketball.
But, Paul, you could light it up, so I'm going to give it to you.
All right. Thanks, Josh. And you were a pretty good shooter back then as well.
Thank you.
And we did mention the defense, right?
Yeah.
How you preached defense this year, which was a foreign term for you back in the days.
I'm a little hypocritical.
All right. Good stuff, Josh. Thank you for coming on. I think we might even have lunch together after this with a few friends. Thanks for driving up to Fresno all the way from Visalia to do this. So good luck the rest of the way, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Again, if you miss any part of the show, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Just go to Central Valley Sports Report, the podcast. You could even skip the commercials. Skip the commercials and listen to all the good stuff. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, of course, First String Sports. Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show back at home. Kyle Biggs for explaining that wild, wacky stuff that's going on in Central Unified with this rebranding. Really good info from Kyle Biggs. Jermaine Jones for bringing his crew. Brian Duckworth and, of course, Josh Bergman. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.